This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The mayor of Chesapeake, Virginia, says he's disappointed that the Lee Boyd Malvo sniper trial will be moved to his small city. Kathy Culpepper reports.
William Ward told reporters that despite his feelings and opposition from the city council, they will support the judge's decision to move the trial from Fairfax, Virginia. Ward added that he was glad they have until November to figure out how to accommodate all the media and other people who want to watch the trial. Ward also hinted that he might not rule out billing Fairfax for any cost of holding the trial in Chesapeake. That trial is expected to last November until the first of next year. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
FBI agents have been talking with at least a dozen immigrants with ties to the Middle East over the past week in an effort to prevent a potential terrorist attack over the 4th of July weekend. Bob Dogum with the Houston office of the FBI says Houston represents a prime target for any potential terrorist attack.
We have some points of interest, for lack of a better term. We have our ports. We have the energy sector, obviously a national airport. So there are things on the radar screen here in Houston that we have to be alert to and be aware of.
Dogum wants to remind people that there is no specific information that has caused the recent heightened alert, other than it is law enforcement's job to try and stay one step ahead of terrorists. Dogum said it only makes sense for law enforcement to be extra vigilant during the celebration of our nation's birth. He says the public is the country's best security resource and that anyone noting anything or anyone of a suspicious nature should report it to their local law enforcement agency immediately.
Still using Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra? Then be aware, because this year many prescription plans are raising the copayment cost of your allergy medicine. So why pay more when those medicines are approved to treat fewer triggers? Ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. 99% of prescription plans cover Flonase, and Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. Allergy medicines costing you more? Simply ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Police are searching for a motive after a 25-year-old plant worker in Missouri killed four people, including himself, and wounded five others. There are many theories as to why Jonathan Russell took a .40-caliber Glock semi-automatic to Modine Manufacturing Company last night. No one, however, knows exactly why he opened fire on his co-workers shortly after clocking in for the late shift. Suspicious packages are causing delays and closures around New York City. Police are responding to another call of a suspicious package in front of the municipal building near City Hall. Hours earlier, subway service and streets were closed near Canal and Varick Street after a white powder-filled envelope was found on the 1 and 9 train. The Brooklyn Bridge is closed in both directions, and parts of Center Street are also closed down. Service on the 1, 2, 3, and 9 trains has been suspended. The 4 and 5 trains are also reporting delays. Police are holding press conferences this afternoon concerning the suspicious packages.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
The only victim of the station nightclub fire in Rhode Island who remains hospitalized is making a plea to people getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July. In a message relayed by one of his doctors, Joseph Canan says people should not play with pyrotechnics. Canan says he hopes his plea will keep the users and any potential innocent bystanders from suffering the serious injuries that can occur. The fire at the station nightclub in West Warwick February 20th killed 100 people and injured nearly 200 others. It was sparked by a band's pyrotechnics display. Canan was burned over 35% of his body and lost his ears and fingers. Doctors say he faces at least another month at Massachusetts General Hospital. Stocks soared today as an early rally gained momentum throughout the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 101 points and finished at 91.42. The Nasdaq added 38 points to 16.78. The S&P 500 was up 11 to 9.93. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing water, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good afternoon. No, I better make that evening. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Thank you very much for joining us. Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. We have some sound of Too Stupid to Eat a Pretzel today that, once you hear it, will make you demand his impeachment. Unbelievable stuff. Plus, some of Spinmeister Ari the Liar's furious backpedaling in reaction to some of Bush's statements. Weird statements out of Governor Bush's mouth today. Just strange stuff. It's almost like no point in getting all riled up about it anymore. You know, I mean, every day it's something new, right? Hey, was it last week we were talking about California Representative Republican Daryl Issa, the guy who has been bankrolling and forcing the recall effort on the Democratic governor of California, Greg Davis, right? We told you that Issa had been busted twice for car theft and fraud and all sorts of stuff with his brother. Well, guess what? There's more. This guy's a real criminal. He was arrested twice on illegal weapons charges also, including an incident in Michigan that led to a misdemeanor gun conviction. Unbelievable. Now, Issa, who's a two-term Republican congressman from the San Diego area, that figures, of course, he's the one bankrolling this effort to place the initiative to recall Gray Davis on the California ballot. And Issa has said he will run for governor himself if the effort is successful. Now, remember what we impeached Clinton for, right? Lying about his girlfriend. Here's a guy with how many arrests for auto theft, which I believe is grand larceny, and now gun weapons charges. What did Issa say? It wasn't him. It was evil twin or something, like a bad soap opera when he was busted on the car theft charges. Now it's weapons charges. The San Francisco Chronicle reported today that court records show that Issa was arrested twice in 1972 on weapons charges, once in Ohio, once in Michigan. After the Michigan arrest, Issa was fined and put on 3 months probation, according to court records. Now, obviously, the Chronicle got a hold of Issa and asked him about this. He implied, Issa implied that the issue of his gun conviction was personal. It was personal. Yeah, hey, that's personal. Plus, he added it was old. Well, yeah, what, 31 years ago? That's personal stuff. Yeah, I've got a rap sheet. I've got a criminal record, car theft, grand larceny, weapons charges, gun charges, all sorts of things. But that's personal. Now, the Chronicle also, don't you love, isn't this so typical, huh? Newt Gingrich, who says he's going to mention Clinton's girlfriend every time the cameras are nearby back in, when was it, 97 or something? And Newt is boinking somebody on the public payroll himself, some little chicky poo that sat on the House Agricultural Subcommittee. Oh, that's right. He eventually married her after he divorced his, what, second, third wife? I don't know. But isn't it always just hysterically funny about Republicans? They are immoral. They are unethical. They are liars, cheaters, thieves, criminals, mass murderers. So here's Daryl Issa. Now, he was also involved in an incident in Ohio a few months before the Michigan weapons arrest. Court records in Issa's hometown of Cleveland Heights show that about a month after getting out of the Army, Issa was arrested on charges of carrying a concealed weapon and auto theft. Can you believe this guy? Now, here's the icing on the cake. A video, which is out there, it was shown by gun control groups yesterday at a news conference. It shows a video in which Issa's 1998 campaign for the U.S. Senate, he was defeated. The campaign, Issa's campaign, ran a booth at a Southern California gun show where high-powered weapons and Nazi memorabilia were being sold. Had enough yet? Have you had enough yet on this story? Nazi memorabilia, fully automatic assault weapons, gun charges, auto theft, grand larceny. And this son of a bitch says that Gray Davis needs to be removed from office? Can you believe this? Did I say a bad word again? Well, tough. It never stops, does it? It never stops. So here you are, Daryl Issa, Republican, two-term punk from San Diego, leading the effort, bankrolling the effort, financing the effort to recall Gray Davis, because Davis, aside from being probably an incompetent governor, was just absolutely sandbagged and crushed by other Republicans who ran an energy scam on his entire state. And then this little oh, take a breath, Malloy. Republican representative from San Diego, Daryl Issa, starts this recall campaign, and the guy has a rap sheet longer than any street thug. Right? What's he got? Four convictions now? Five? Six? Eight? Who cares? As Issa said, the convictions are personal and old and should not be a factor in his recall Gray Davis campaign. Huh? How about that? I thought you'd like that one. God! Oh, these... Man, I'll tell you. Willie Nelson has endorsed Dennis Kucinich for president. Here's the statement, part of it. From Willie Nelson, I'm endorsing Dennis Kucinich for president because he stands up for heartland Americans who are too often overlooked and unheard. He has done that his whole political career. He goes on and he says, I normally do not get too heavily involved in politics, but this is more about getting involved with America than with politics. And, of course, Kucinich said it's an honor. Ralph Nader on last night's Crossfire on CNN said, quote, if Dennis Kucinich gets the nomination, it'll be less reason to have a third-party challenge. He's a very progressive Democrat, end quote. Does that sort of thing matter anymore? Entertainers endorsing, endorsements like this, does it matter? I don't know. Did it ever? I guess it did at one time. Now, to Howard Dean, The Telegraph of the UK has an interesting little piece here on Howard Dean. The reporter says a populist fringe candidate muscled his way yesterday into the contenders to challenge George W. Bush in 2004. And then the writer for the Telegraph of London describes Howard Dean as a serious, or that he was transformed into a serious player after announcing he has raised £4.5 million, what would that be, $7 million in campaign funds in 3 months, more than any of his 8 Democratic rivals. The article goes on to say Dean's surge was largely driven by the Internet, with his campaign collecting £500,000 in online donations on Monday alone. College students, anti-war activists, and liberal groups have adopted Mr. Dean, drawn by his firm opposition to the war in Iraq and angry criticism of the Democratic leadership in Washington. Now, the article goes on to cite something that you all know, and I know, we know. They're leveling this at Dean right now. Kucinich, Democratic Party, is trying to leave Kucinich totally off the map. So they're focused on Dean, because Dean now has scared the living Jesus out of these DLC Democrats. He really, really has. Even though, now I don't want to irritate any Dean fans. Bless your hearts. You know, Dean may be the guy I wind up voting for. But let's be real here. If you look at Dean's record, he's a little bit to the right of Bill Clinton. If you liked Clinton's presidency, then you're going to love Dean's presidency. Okay? Let's just be honest. Let's call it for what it is. For God's sake, let's not fool ourselves that Howard Dean is a liberal. He is not. He may make an excellent president. I may vote for him, but he is not a liberal. Please, okay? Can we stipulate that from here on out? He is not a progressive. Okay? He is what he is. However, the Democratic Party leadership is starting to panic because they didn't select Dean. They selected, you know, Terry McAuliffe and Bill Clinton and Al Gore and Mr. Fromm. What's Fromm's for? Al Fromm. These are the Democratic Leadership Conference dudes. These are the ones that make the decision. Okay? The only reason Terry McAuliffe remained as the head of the DLC after the last presidential debacle was because Bill Clinton insisted on it. The recently dead Maynard Jackson challenged Terry McAuliffe to head the DLC, DNC. And Clinton put the word out, Maynard is not going to get that job. Terry McAuliffe is going to keep it. And that's what happened. You know, I know it's difficult to keep all this straight without going, oh, well, damn. No, that's not what we're doing here. Again, if Kucinich doesn't make it, Dean is certainly going to get my vote if he makes it. If he doesn't make it, then I'm not sure yet. But let's be realists. So the Democratic Party leadership has decided Dean just scared the hell out of them by pulling in more money than any of these other candidates. So you know what they're doing now? They are trying to link him to George McGovern, who was a liberal, who got his ass handed to him by Richard Nixon in that landslide victory back in 1972, because Americans were even crazier back in 72, in a sense, than we are now. Where did McGovern win? One state or two? I think it was the biggest electoral defeat in the history of presidential elections in this country. So they're trying to make Howard Dean into a McGovern. The Democrats are doing this. The Democratic Party leadership are doing this. Howard Dean is to the right of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was way to the right of George McGovern, okay? But that's how panicked the Democratic Party leadership is. They're trying to paint Howard Dean as this, McGovernite liberal, so that the Democratic Party faithful will say, well, we can't do that. Oh, my God, look what happened to McGovern. Have I said yet tonight that I hate these people? No, I'm not talking about Republicans. Does anyone need yet another politician caught with his pants down and money sticking in his hole?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
And the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. Correction. It's not Daryl Issa. It's Daryl Issa. Thank you. Who sent it in, Kathy? Deborah? Okay. Daryl Issa. Well, what do I know? Anyway, back to Howard Dean. So the Democratic Party leadership is desperate now. Howard Dean is collecting the big money. Although, the sad part is, the bitter reality for Democrats is that 7 million, I guess, is what Dean has collected so far, 6, 7 million. That puts Dean into the lead in the Democrats, but it's chump change for George Bush. He picks up that amount in one day. That's how perverted politics in this country have become. Here's a guy, Howard Dean, who gets literally thousands upon thousands of donations via the internet from people contributing $5, $10, $15, $20, $30, $50, $100, what have you. Here's Dennis Kucinich doing the same thing. George Bush walks into a room of fat cats, and they all write their checks for $200,000. What is it now? If you can bundle $200,000, you're now a ranger? Is that what you are, a ranger? Yeah, you're going to be a ranger. So anyway, even the British press is picking up on the fact that the Democratic Party leadership is starting to freak about Howard Dean. They didn't select him. As of yet, they haven't figured out how to control him, which will be their next that'll be their next move. How do we co-opt Howard Dean? Until they get to that level, though, the word is going out that Howard Dean is a McGovernite. And Howard Dean is no more of a George McGovern than Dick Nixon was John Kennedy. But it doesn't matter to the Democratic Party leadership and media in this country. They couldn't care less. If the Democratic Party leadership starts having their thugs say,
well, you know, Howard Dean is a McGovernite. You know, we can't have a McGovernite. You know what happened? Remember what Dick Nixon did? We can't have Howard Dean. He's a McGovernite. He's a McGovernite.
You know, they have their hired thugs start saying that, and then the media, the whorish punk media in this country, who would no more take a look at McGovern's record and Dean's record and say,
well, Democratic Party leadership, you're crazier than hell. He's not a McGovernite. As a matter of fact, he's a pretty solid conservative, this Howard Dean. He's not a psychopath like the Republican Party, but gee, Democratic Party leadership, this guy's not a McGovernite.
No, they won't do that. The media won't do that because the media are thugs and punks and whores and they're paid for. So the Democratic Party puts out the line that Howard Dean is a McGovernite, which he's not. And the media dutifully reports it. Oh, it just makes you want to tear your hair out, doesn't it? Does it make you want to do that? Bobbleheads. Did y'all see this? The bobble. Now, before I get into the story, I just want you to think. Can you imagine religious Jews doing what I'm about to tell you? Can you imagine Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists? No. Only Christians could do this. Only Christians could do this. Now, the Bible is not a book to laugh at, right? It is full of slaughter, rape, incest, murder, mayhem, destruction, every possible crime against a man against man, a man against woman, man against animal, beast, child, slave, sheep in the field. All of it is in the Bible. The Bible is probably the bloodiest, most incestful. Is that a word, Kathy? Incest loaded. Soap opera, a killer manual ever put together. But guess what somebody wants to do with the characters from the Bible? In case you're not already ahead of me, just hang on, I'll tell you right after this break.
It's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
A victory for free speech and workers' rights online from the California Supreme Court. The case involved Ken Hamidi, a former engineer for the Intel Corporation. After being fired in 1995 over a workers' compensation dispute, Hamidi began emailing all Intel employees with exposés on the company's unfair labor practices. Intel went to court and got an injunction barring Hamidi from sending emails to Intel, claiming that by doing so he was trespassing on private property. But a 4-3 majority of California's highest court has ruled Hamidi was engaging in nothing more than free speech, much like a protester would standing on the sidewalk in front of Intel's headquarters holding a sign. And because of his status as a former Intel employee, the court believed Hamidi's emails didn't fit the definition of spam either, as he was actually passing along information of interest to other Intel workers.
The U.S. Customs Service is under fire for allowing cocoa harvested by slaves into the country. U.S. law prohibits the importation of goods manufactured by prison or slave labor, and labor advocates say that should include cocoa from the Ivory Coast, much of which is produced by indentured children for major chocolate processors like Nestle, Cargill, and Archer Daniels Midland. Terry Collinsworth is with the International Labor Rights Fund. His group recently filed suit against the Customs Service after petitioning the agency for a year to prevent the importation of slave-harvested cocoa into the U.S.
Our initial effort here will be to ask a court to order an administrative agency to implement a law as required by Congress.
The Ivory Coast produces nearly half of the world's cocoa supply, and the International Labor Rights Fund estimates that nearly all chocolate sold in the U.S. contains some cocoa that was picked by indentured children.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
We have some statements coming up from Bush pretty soon, too stupid to write a segue, that are just, I don't know, they sound treasonous to me. But this bobblehead thing, did you hear about this? Surely you have by now. There's a guy in this country named Dan Foote. Where is he from? Oh, God. Who cares? He wants to make bobblehead figures out of the character model on characters out of the Bible. Now, the Bible is nothing to laugh at, right? It's full of death and destruction, incest, rape, slaughter, beheadings, butchery, treasonous acts, lying, stealing. It's just a horrifying book. It really, really is. The some of the characters in the book, by any definition, are mass murderers. These are mass murderers who are instructed by God to go commit mass murder. Now, if somebody does that today, you say, what's the difference here? Maybe somebody can tell me. When Joshua is instructed by God to cross into Canaan and slaughter every living human being, and George Bush is instructed by God to cross into Iraq and slaughter as many as he has to, you know, what happens if I or you arm ourselves and decide that God has told me to go wipe out everybody in the Great Mall of Georgia tomorrow. Now, what happens to me? But that's what the Bible... See, the Bible's full of characters like that.
Oh, I know it doesn't count because, you know, it was the Bible.
So here's this guy, Dan Foote, who walks into the slaughter that is found in the Judeo-Christian Bible, this slaughter, this butchery, and he wants to make bobblehead characters. He says, sometimes Christians are the biggest sticks in the mud.
We don't know how to have fun. Oh, gosh darn it. You know, we can't slaughter millions anymore, or thousands anyway. You know, we can't have sex with our sisters or our dads and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we used to be able to do that. Well, not Christians. Those were Jews. But, you know, we can't hang out and, you know, 13 guys wandering around the desert somewhere without being accused of being gay. You know, we can't have fun anymore. So I'll tell you what, let's make bobbleheads.
And Foote goes on to say, people outside the faith tend to look at Christians as the ones who always want to rain on their parades, which is too bad. We're the ones who should be happy. Right. So he wants to make bobbleheads. He thinks it would be kind of cool to have a bobblehead Moses on your desk. He says, I'm sure Moses and Noah would love their bobbleheads and see it as an honor. Boy, this guy is messing with a thunderbolt, isn't he? Huh? God, as he exists in the Judeo-Christian faith, is probably sitting there right now, tapping his foot, reaching for about 80 billion volts of electricity to send right down to old Dan Foote. Don't you think?
I'm sure Moses and Noah would love their bobbleheads.
Zap! No more Dan Foote. Now, along with Samson, you know, the guy with the hair, and Moses and Noah, Foote has chosen to test the market for other, what he calls, Bible bobbleheads. That's the name, Bible bobbleheads. Can you imagine Hindus doing this, or Muslims, or religious Jews? Huh? Yeah, no, of course you can't. It's impossible. You can't. How about Buddhists?
Hey, let's have a bobblehead Buddha.
Now, Foote's company is called Isaac Brothers Incorporated. See, that's the Hebrew word. Isaac is a Hebrew word for laughter, according to what I have in front of me here. He's imported 1,500 Bible bobbleheads from a factory in China. That's right, China, where they use slave labor, and where religion is still outlawed. He's making little Christ and Bible figures from slave labor in a country that says religion is not to be. Now, how about a Jesus bobblehead? What's he going to do about that? He's got a John the Baptist bobblehead. He thinks this is real funny. The John the Baptist bobblehead, the head falls off. And he says it's just a joke. You can put the head back on. You know, a lot of these early Christians were beheaded, right? You get it. You understand. Okay, thank you. So Jesus bobbleheads is apparently what's coming next. Foote and his partners are already looking at adding new bobbleheads to the mix, even Jesus. He says Jesus is not off limits if handled tastefully. I don't know. I can't. Some of this stuff, like if I got really, really, really stoned, you know, came out there to Santa Fe and wandered out in the desert out there and just ate some of your mushrooms, or I'm not your mushrooms, but your cactus buds, and just got crazy, you know, and Don Juan shows up and Don Gennaro shows up and everything just started. I could not come up with something this ridiculous. Biblical bobbleheads. But there it is. Dave's calling from Silverdale, Washington. What do you know about these bobbleheads?
Well, Mike, I don't know much about bobbleheads, but I know that those people have zero taste, so I would hate to see the Jesus bobblehead they had come up with.
The John the Baptist one is the one that is intriguing to me. The head comes off.
and you can put it back on.
That's good. And he's probably wearing white loafers, and he's got a camera around his neck.
Right.
You know, I'd like to see a bobblehead, though, and I don't know if you're familiar with Nietzsche's Zarathustra.
Yeah.
He's the one who came down off the mountain and pronounced that,
God is dead, right.
And so I'd like to have a bobblehead like that that reminded me that these people are caught up in a fantasy trying to explain life and doing a poor job of it.
You know, given the reality, though, of how many people have been slaughtered, just butchered in the name of Christianity, in the name of Islam, in the name of the Hindu gods and goddesses, when you think about how this planet is thigh deep in blood because of religion, and the imposition of religion, I should say. And then some freak like this comes along and says, hey, look, I'm going to make some bobbleheads. I don't know. Is that maybe that's what you should do. Maybe that's what should... We should have bobbleheads and just denigrate these butchery religions to the point where people can laugh at them and just say, hey, there's Moses losing his head again. You know, something like that.
P.T. Barnum is definitely smiling somewhere.
Isn't he?
He's been proven right once again. Mike, I was wondering if I could make another comment.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. President Tough Guy and his comments today.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. I've called you frequently. My background's with the military, and I'm still associated,
right.
Through my family, and all my neighbors are, military people. And, a month ago, 2 months ago, while we were shooting fish in a barrel, you couldn't turn around without finding a media camera. Our gaze was constant when it was, I guess, fun for the psychopathic people in our society to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, of course, there's not a camera on the ground to be found. You get glimpses of it, but of course we don't have any sense of what's actually going on there now because it's not fun anymore.
That's right.
But I can guarantee you this. I know from speaking with military people, I know from being deployed in the military that there is bad attitude going on, bad morale problems going on in Iraq. Those soldiers have been lied to. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're pissed off. They want to get back to their families.
That's right.
And now they've got President Tough Guy egging it on. I can guarantee you, if anybody out there is under the delusion that soldiers like to hear that talk, they don't have a clue.
No.
Soldiers are incensed by that type of bravado, false bravado.
Oh, and this from a punk who deserted his champagne unit in Texas. This from a guy who would no more put his ass on the line or his life at risk for any proposition, whether it was defending freedom or just being part of the misuse of the military that has happened so much since World War II. Bush wouldn't care. He would, if they're shooting, I'm out of here, Jack. That's his attitude. So yeah, I'm going to play that soundbite. You're right though. Real soldiers who heard about this today are probably, wherever they are stationed right now, even if they're not in a combat zone, wherever they are, they're probably thinking, oh, for Christ's sake, he didn't say that.
Oh, no, they're beside themselves. A couple months ago I was on the East Coast staying, and all the Army bases and Navy bases have pretty good lodging for, it's inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I stopped at the guard gate, because security side now, and I used to be an MP, so I was talking with the MPs, and I got caught up with the illusion that nowadays the attitude is better and so forth. And so I said to these guys, how are you holding up? And I couldn't believe what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
These were a bunch of National Guardsmen who've already been home away from home for a year. As a matter of fact, they're from a unit in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard more attitude than back when I was in the day. And our media portrays one picture of these folks in the military, but I hope people out there understand that that's not what's going on. The military is being stretched thin to the point of being destroyed because NCOs, non-commissioned officers, mm-hmm. are not re-upping.
Yeah, anybody who has military in their family, I think, is tuned into what you're saying, Dave. And anybody who maintains, whether active military or not, I have a brother-in-law who is a naval officer, two tours in Nam, and then one in 2 years of shore duty in Italy.
And he stays in touch through his military retired organizations, and he's a Republican. He's not that conservative, but he's a Republican. But he also has been telling me it's starting to get up to the level of contempt that is being felt, especially in the junior officer corps in the military for George Bush. Now, the senior officer corps, I think he's already lost them.
Oh, absolutely. Because there are many really incredible professionals in the military. And one
right.
of the important things, these guys have all been reared on the doctrine of what happened in Vietnam.
Right.
And reared on the idea, you know, I mean, it was very much in play in the Gulf War I. You don't fight unless you know you're going to win, mm-hmm. and you have an exit strategy.
Right.
We haven't heard anything about an exit strategy this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, the question I would put to anybody when it comes to, let's start with Donald Rumsfeld. How bad does it have to get before we fire this man?
Yeah. You know, remember, Rummy said draftees have no value, and then Bush now has encouraged the enemy to attack our soldiers with his half-ass bring it on statement today. As far as Rumsfeld is concerned, I don't know. There's nobody in Democratic Party leadership who would broach the subject on the Senate Armed Services Committee. The Republicans certainly are not going to, because that's not what Republicans do. Rumsfeld will be there until, you know, I've said this before, it have to be something over the top. They have to catch him in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. Or he will be there as long as he wants to be there, until it's time for him to go and go to work for the Carlyle Group and make money on the slaughter that he has set up. Rumsfeld will be there forever. He's not going anywhere.
Are we talking about America?
No, we're not. We're talking...
Not the America I know.
No. No, we're not talking about America anymore. Dave, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Now, what Dave is talking about, and you've already heard it, Bush said today... with his tough ass about the Iraqis that are attacking and killing American soldiers, and the American soldiers are obviously shooting back, killing people. The slaughter, we have lost 80 people or 60 people since Bush pranced around the deck of the aircraft carrier. But today, Bush said. Bring him on. He said there are some who feel like the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring him on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation. Now that's what Dave was just talking about. That's what most people who have served in the military, or more specifically, who have served in a combat zone, are just dumbfounded that this ignorant bastard would make a statement like that. New Jersey Democratic Senator Frank Lautenberg, who served in Europe during World War II, said, "I am shaking my head in disbelief. When I served in the Army in Europe during World War II, I never heard any military commander, let alone the commander-in-chief, invite enemies to attack U.S. troops." Dick Gephardt said, "I have a message for the president. Enough of the phony macho rhetoric. We should be focused on a long-term security plan that reduces the danger to our military personnel." Gephardt served in the military, too. See, Bush, since he is a coward and a liar and a sneak and a cheat and a pansy ass, let me go hide when the bullets are flying, thug, he has no idea what it is like. Now imagine our soldiers over there now, 120 degrees Fahrenheit in the desert, surrounded by hostile forces. It's not Ba'athist party members. It's not Saddam supporters. It's Iraqi people who've had enough of this. So there sits our guys. There they sit. They were promised a quick in and out. There they are. They're there for God knows how long. They're being shot at. They're being killed every day. And Bush says, bring it on. Bring it on. My God, I'll play it for you. You can hear it yourself as soon as we come back. But it's just astonishing. There's not a day that goes by that this twerp, George Bush, makes it so clear he is no more capable of being a leader than he was capable of owning a baseball team. We'll go to, and I know you want shit.
I have said repeatedly, we are in a dangerous phase of this war. And as we learned, we lost life. But nevertheless, it is worth it, and it is necessary.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
I understand there's going to be loss of life. But I strongly believe we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. It's about 5 before the hour. All right, first, I want to play for you. Well, Mad About Harry sent me this. Mike, today this little pathetic make-believe president made the most irresponsible statement ever uttered from the White House in a barroom challenge. Bush spoke to those attacking and killing American soldiers and told them, bring them on. Mike, I can't take it anymore. I really can't. Will anyone in the media bother looking up the definition of treason? Here he is. This sick chicken hawk actually urging the Iraqis to kill our troops.
You know, we'll put together a force structure to meet the threats on the ground. And we got a lot of forces there ourselves. And as I said yesterday, anybody who wants to harm American troops will be found and brought to justice. There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This has to be... Why has the media not, or why have the media not, all of them, jumped on this asinine, cowardly, punk barroom statement? Why haven't they done this? Now, a reporter brings it up with Ari. The reporter said, on Iraq, the president said today about the Iraqis who are attacking coalition troops, my answer is to bring them on to people who would be attempted to attack American troops. Does this kind of language risk inviting more attacks, Ari?
I think, first of all, I don't think people in Iraq who are loyal to Saddam Hussein are going to or not going to attack based on a news conference. They're going to attack because that's what they do. That's what they've done as long as they were in power, and that's what they continue to do. I think what the president was expressing there is his confidence in the men and women of the military to handle the military mission, that they still remain in the middle of. Major combat operations have ended, but obviously combat has not for those who are there, and the president has faith and confidence in the men and women of our military who are doing difficult duty.
Just unbelievable. I don't know what is worse. Well, I do know what is worse. The statement by too stupid to find his ass with both hands. That's the most egregious comment. Can it get worse with this guy? Yes, it certainly can. It can. And an Ari Fleischer smarmy little condescending statement to the reporters, like, well, yeah, he's just expressing his support for American soldiers who will die because of because of Bush's statements. Now, I'm going to play that sound, that piece of Bush sound coming back, because I want to explore this with you a little bit. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. One U.S. soldier has died from wounds in an ambush in Iraq. Attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq have killed 26 U.S. soldiers, all after President Bush declared major combat in Iraq was over May 1st. Bush says those attackers will be found. Lori Iyama reports.
President Bush says anybody who wants to harm American troops will be found and brought to justice.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Bush says those who sabotage Iraq's infrastructure will also be punished.
Those who blow up the electricity lines really aren't hurting America. They're hurting the Iraq citizens. Their own fellow citizens are being hurt. But we will deal with them harshly as well.
Bush also repeated his stance that Iraq had illegal weapons programs. Lori Iyama, Washington.
An explosion at a fireworks stand near Fort Myers has killed at least two people. The Fort Myers News Press reports the afternoon blast took place just before 2:30 local time at a park near Bonita Beach. Two other people are reported missing and at least one other's injured. A massive fire continues to burn from a tractor-trailer truck where the fireworks were stored. There is no indication yet what caused the blast.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Officials described this morning's fire at Three Mile Island as a non-nuclear event that had no impact on the safety of Unit 2. Dauphin County, Pennsylvania Emergency Management spokesman Jen Kocher said that at no time were residents in any danger.
At no point was Dauphin County's Emergency Operations Center opened or anything like that because we were aware that it was not that serious at this point in time because it was not near any of the nuclear facilities.
Kocher adds the fire was put out within 15 minutes and that its cause is still being looked into. At this point, officials believe the fire was electrical in nature and was confined to a turbine in a switchgear room that feeds the inoperable Unit 2 reactor. A state police fire marshal has been called to the scene to investigate. Some Canadians now living in the U.S. are starting to make plans for the Winter Olympics in 2010. George Lynn reports.
Jeremy Heisler used to live in Canada. He's now a chiropractor in the Seattle area. Although he considers himself to be American, those Canadian roots are still strong.
Called my wife first thing this morning and said we got to start an account. $1,000 a year, it's going in it. We're going, for sure. Thanks.
Heisler says he's not concerned about the threat of terrorism or traffic problems. He says the Canadians making it to the gold medal hockey game is a bigger concern. George Lynn, Seattle.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Unionized firefighters in Philadelphia have thrown their support behind Republican Sam Katz for mayor. Union President Tom O'Drain says the decision to support Katz wasn't difficult.
I've had phone calls from my members, I've talked to our people, and their support has been communicated for our online forum on the union website. For months, I've heard it from the firefighters and the paramedics. Back Katz.
O'Drain says Mayor John Street's administration hasn't given firefighters the respect they deserve. The 4,000-member strong union didn't make an endorsement in the 1999 campaign. The union representing police officers in the city has come out in support of incumbent Democrat John Street. An African-American firefighters group is breaking ranks and endorsing Street. An early rally sent stocks soaring today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 101 points to 91.42. The NASDAQ added 38 to 1678. The S&P 500 was up 11 to 993. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, let's play that piece of sound again today where Bush actually urges the Iraqis to attack our troops. Now, if you know Bush's history, he's a failure, he's a coward, he's a cheat, he's a liar, he is dumber than dirt. We have soldiers in a real bad situation. They're an occupying army surrounded by a civilian population that is starting to hate who we are, what we stand for, what we've done in their country. They are killing us. It has become a guerrilla war. It's going to get worse. We are killing them. Since Bush pranced around with his testicles bulging out of his pants on, when was it, Kathy, May 1st? Whenever it was, when he pranced around on the deck of the aircraft carrier, we have lost 60 American soldiers. Now, there was a huge banner up there so Bush could have his filthy photo op. It said, mission accomplished. No, the mission hasn't even begun yet. So today, he says this.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is, bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
Bring them on. Bring them on. Now, you're a soldier. You're 19 years old. And this old bastard in the White House, you know, somebody's 53, you're 19, they're an old bastard. I don't know how old he is. How old is he? 57? Whatever he is. Some old bastard in the White House, safely ensconced, surrounded by the most complex security force in the history of the human species. A punk who won't put his own shoes on the ground in Iraq. He'll fly over it, but he won't go there. And he says, bring it on. Now, I wonder how Hannity and the pig man and the savage punk and their ilk are going to spin Bush's invitation to the enemy to keep killing our soldiers. Huh? Our young men are getting killed every single day. And Bush says, keep them coming. And the Republicans have the gall to malign Clinton's handling of the military and claim the troops had no respect for Clinton, but no, the troops loved this little dictator, this little coward, this little rat bastard who is encouraging the Iraqis to attack and kill our young men. Now, if you're current or former military or have family in the service, I'd like to hear what's your reaction to Bush's comments. Sorry, we already heard from Dave in Silverdale, Washington. Bring him on. I mean, what kind of a punk statement is that? With our people being shot dead and our people shooting dead. And Bush sits there and says, yeah, bring him on. Bring him on. Hey, we'll whip your ass. Bring him on. I'm George Bush. I'm a coward. I'm a deserter. But bring him on. I've got 160,000 American soldiers over there. I don't give a damn for any of them. Hey, I know how to hug the wives and the moms. I know how to do that when the coffins come home. I don't care about them. Couldn't care less. Want the oil. Want the military base. Bring them on. Bring them on. You want to kill some Americans? Bring them on. We're tough ass. Bring them on. I don't know. It's beyond belief. It is literally beyond belief. And I'll say it again. Why is this piece of human refuse still in the Oval Office? Why? Jerry's calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Hey.
Hey. You know, that's the kind of invitation that got Osama bin Laden, that apparently was consistent with the way Bush works, that got Osama bin Laden interested in tearing down the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he puts us at risk with. And I go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I agree with you.
I said this before, and I want to stick with it. The only thing very soon that is going to be between the hatred of the world and Bush is the middle class that Bush has sold down the river of people like you and I. That is very soon, and I think you and I are very soon going to have to make a decision. But I want to paint a bigger picture with many comments that have been made by political leaders just yesterday and today that are just outrageous. Bush's comments, Berlusconi's comments in Italy to the European Parliament.
Yeah, accusing the guy of being like, ought to be in a Nazi movie, ought to be.
Berlusconi has done that in the best Mussolini fascist tradition.
Right.
Do you know that a couple of weeks ago he actually got himself exempted from any prosecution or law in Italy?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, on the BBC, I guess.
Yeah, fascists.
They are fascists.
Are always above the law. Bush is above the law. Cheney's above the law.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, we can't afford that anymore. Okay, now then the one comment that really steams me because he knows better is Lieberman's comment about Bush in Vietnam being a war, proving his. Have you heard that one yet?
Oh, yeah. We play that soundbite a lot. What he learned in Vietnam.
Yeah. I just saw it on Democratic Underground earlier this evening.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll have Kathy's looking for it right now, but we played that several times. Democratic Underground quotes us. Have you got it, Kathy? Okay, here it is. Listen. All right, wait a second. She's finding it. But here it is. Listen, Jerry.
Okay.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confront a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
It's an unbelievable statement.
No kidding.
It's an unbelievable statement.
It's so divorced from reality. And again, Bush made a statement similar to that. A few people caught it, but it was so symptomatic of how divorced from reality these people are. And again, a comment like that just feeds the pathological delusion these people are in.
Mm-hmm.
So my solution is that we sell Bush down the river the way he has sold us.
Well, like how?
I think there are some warring tribes in Afghanistan that would pay very much for him.
Oh,
I'm serious.
Oh, you're talking about...
He's worth more to us that way than he is in the Oval Office committing his acts of treason.
Oh, I
and
see.
Now Ann Coulter started this.
Yeah. Well, Ann Coulter is another just totally insane
well,
person.
Well, and it's, the statements that are coming out now by these politicians are on this diluted level of Ann Coulter thinking that because you dissent with a person that's not even legally elected that you should be committing treason. Aren't what these people doing is committing treason themselves? And what they're trying to do is to pin it on everyone else while they do it?
Oh, yeah.
One last question for
sure.
us all to think about, Mike.
Yeah.
Before I go, I made the statement about Alibaba and the 1001 Nights and the thief from Baghdad and the stories Alibaba and the 40 thieves from Baghdad.
Right.
And how the State Department should have known that.
Right.
After I said that to you, I heard a thing on the BBC how there were a lot of people going around in Baghdad trying to turning in looters, and they called the looters themselves Alibabas.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought, well, you know, gee, I should be working in the State Department. I know a hell of a lot more than they do. Which leads me to my next question. I think we all should think about, you don't have to answer it, but who do you think is selling these Iraqi guerrillas, these armor-piercing RPGs?
Well, I think they probably came from the sales that the United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, and Russia made to the Iraqis.
Or it's the depleted uranium that they've been salvaging right. The depleted uranium we've already been using over there for years.
Right. Plus, don't forget, Jimmy Carter's Secretary of State, Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who laughed his ass almost into an insane asylum because Brzezinski always felt that it was he that enticed the Russians in 1979 to invade Afghanistan, and then of course the big double cross or whatever you want to call it,
right.
when the United States backed, funded, armed Osama bin Laden and the Mujahideen. So a lot of the weaponry that is used to kill Americans came.
From us.
Exactly.
And the rest of the world knows this, but we don't.
Sure.
And the rest of the world now knows regarding this thing about the WMDs that they're not finding is, isn't it ironic that the only time that Saddam used them was when he was our boy and after Rumsfeld had just visited him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the government, the country... that used a biological or chemical weapons of mass destruction to the extent that hundreds of thousands of people died.
In the Iran-Iraq War?
No, I'm talking about Agent Orange in Vietnam. When we wiped out tens of thousands of people, we destroyed an entire ecosystem, we poisoned our own troops. We sprayed this crap on U.S. soldiers who were on the ground. We sprayed it on civilians. Two generations now of Vietnamese and Americans have been born since that war. You know, Vietnam veterans are grandfathers now in this country and in Vietnam. The death and destruction and deformity and poison that we dumped on Vietnam. It reduces, if such a thing is possible, the moral implications of what Saddam did by a factor of 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000. There's no such thing as reducing the factor of violence and death and destruction on civilian populations.
Well,
I understand that. But if you take what Saddam did, raise it to a power of about 10, you have the United States government under Lyndon Johnson and Dick Nixon and what we did in that country. So anytime somebody wants to talk to me about weapons of mass destruction, I've got two words, Agent Orange.
Well, and then what happened in Cambodia subsequently.
Yeah. Hey, listen, got to go. Thanks, Jerry. Okay. All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Because I don't see no ticker tape. We'll find my bread saying, thank you, son.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
There's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
Yeah, that's how a lot of Americans are starting to feel about you, dude. So Bush says it's day. While we've got soldiers out there, I don't care how much protective gear, how many weapons they surround themselves with, where they sleep at night, how secure their area is, there's still Americans who are going to be shot dead because we are occupying a country where the civilian population is, for the most part, is starting to loathe us and hate us. And in that situation, there sits George Bush back here in this country challenging those people who are killing Americans to bring them on. It's astonishing. Now, this was just posted at Democratic Underground from Ignatius. It's from a newspaper in Indianapolis. Jesse Halling, a 19-year-old, just a child, really, killed on June 7th, was from Indianapolis, my hometown. Surprisingly, for our ultra-conservative paper, the lead story in the Sunday edition was about those killed since May 1st, when Bush gave his Top Gun impersonation. Jesse Halling's mom received a letter from him 2 days after his funeral. He talked about how much he missed his mom and sister and told her to withdraw money from his personal account so that she, mom, and his sister could go out to eat and go to a movie. Heart-wrenching stuff. Don't bring them on. Bring them home. How can somebody be as ethically dead, as morally deficient as George Bush, and still mouth these Christian pieties? Now, Ari Fleischer, in trying to explain at today's press conference what the little punk was saying, because one of the reporters said, you know, Ari, don't these kinds of statements just put our people even more at risk? And I want you to hear the way Ari Fleischer spins what the coward-in-chief said today.
I think I don't think people in Iraq who are loyal to Saddam Hussein are going to or not going to attack based on a news conference. They're going to attack because that's what they do. That's what they've done as long as they were in power, and that's what they continue to do. I think what the president was expressing there is his confidence in the men and women of the military to handle the military mission that they still remain in the middle of. Major combat operations have ended, but obviously combat has not for those who are there, and the president has faith and confidence in the men and women of our military who are doing difficult duty.
I would like to take Donald Rumsfeld and Ari Fleischer and George Bush, put them in full combat gear, and turn them loose outside Fallujah, all three of them, and see what happens. That's what they're doing to our soldiers. That's what they're doing to our young boys. That's what they're doing. And yes, a few young women. But dress them up. Give them the night scopes and the vision this and the gun that and the this that and the weapon here and the this and the that, and put them in a Humvee, these three. Now add a couple more. Put Wolfowitz and Pearl in there too. And then send the five of them out on a search and destroy mission. Go find some of these Baathist sympathizers, George and Donnie and Rich and Wolfie and Ari. Go find them. Bring them back. Bring them on.
And she got married on the island, and her husband takes the train. He's big and he's fast, and he doesn't even have a brain. They're gonna kill your son. Don't you know they're gonna kill your son?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The current drought in the American West could last for years. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The western United States is facing another year of serious drought. The current dry spell began in 1999, and last year was the driest one in more than a century. As the drought continues, the Southwest, the Rockies, and the Great Plains must deal with dwindling water supplies and a growing threat of wildfires. Julio Betancourt is a scientist with the U.S. Geological Survey and a professor at the University of Arizona. Betancourt and a team of researchers studied patterns in tree rings to determine the patterns of previous dry spells. He says prolonged, widespread drought has hit the region many times over the centuries.
So the question is, you know, this drought that began roughly in the late 1990s continues to the present. How long is that drought going to last?
Betancourt says dry periods in the West are linked to what's happening in the oceans. When the surface temperature of the tropical Pacific turns cold, the West goes dry. The most extensive and persistent droughts occur when the tropical Pacific is cold and the North Atlantic is warm at the same time. That happened in the 1950s, and it's happening again now. Betancourt says water managers should be cautious.
If I was a betting man right now, for example, and I had a choice between it's going to get wet in the near future, it's going to be average, and it's going to be dry, I'd bet on the dry scenario given the configuration of ocean climate right now.
Betancourt says it's always a good idea to conserve water, but with the likelihood of more dry years in the future, water conservation in the West is now more important than ever. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So that's where we're kind of stuck right now. Bush making the statement. Anna emailed in and said the thugs at Fox News Channel are treating it like it was a great macho statement. Yeah, bring them on. Come on, bring them on. We'll whip some ass, boy. You know, there's not a person except these hired guns that show up on Fox, these retired generals. There's not a person in the entire Fox network that's ever served a day in the military, certainly not in the combat operation. Have I said yet this hour that I hate these people? I think I have, but it's just deep and abiding hate. I mean, it's almost like chocolate syrup hate. Sharon is calling from Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Sharon, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just wanted to respond in regards to what you were saying. I do have a family member that's in the armed services right now, and nobody likes it. Nope. I mean, we're right here. We're in Hampton.
Right.
By being the Air Force base,
mm-hmm.
Nobody likes this at all. They show the Navy wives hugging their husbands and all of this, but really deep down inside, nobody likes this war. They're against it, but they're afraid.
What about Bush's statement today? I don't know if
bring
it's
him on?
Yeah, bring him.
Bring it on.
Yeah, bring him on. Challenging people to take shots at American soldiers.
Well, I think it's disgraceful. Number one, because he's never served in the armed forces. I have not either, but he's never served, and I think he should be more than cautious about saying certain things like that, because that causes those people to make the Iraqis to take more pot shots at our soldiers. We should be bringing our soldiers home, not trying to egg these people on.
Yeah.
Because he didn't find anything. Those soldiers are dying for no reason. There's no weapons. There's no Saddam, no Osama, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Bring our kids home. I'm talking about bringing. This isn't wrestling. This isn't a game. This isn't Atari or Tetris or any of that. It's somebody's life, and it could be the life of my brother.
That's right.
Or, well, I was just on the chat room with one of the people in the chat room. Her brother died,
mm-hmm.
and it made me angry because it and all he can think to say is bring it on, and you have people that's dying.
Bush treats this whole thing. He treats these American young men, and to a lesser degree the young women who are in this in dangerous situations there. He treats the troops like they're his little toy soldiers, and he's playing war just like the video games he likes to play. And I'm wondering again, as I have wondered for the past 2 years, how much longer, Sharon, are we, the American public, going to allow this guy to sit in the White House? How much longer?
I didn't vote for him, and I know my brother didn't vote for him, and I know a lot of the people that are in the Army now, they didn't vote for him. My brother, I also have another brother that served in Desert One. He's suffering right now today.
Yeah, but Sharon, the Republicans would have America believe, first, that the military had no respect for Clinton, and second, that Bush is the best commander-in-chief ever. And what you're saying is, since you are in touch with the military community there, you're saying that's not true.
That's absolutely not true. What they're painting, the mom's apple pie and everybody hugging Bush, those people did not want to be on that boat. They told, as far as I'm understanding it, most of those people wanted to be let off of the boat.
Right.
When Bush went there, those kids wanted to be off the boat. They did not want to be on there near Bush. Nobody wants to be put in harm's way. Now, that's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rather, like Clinton, have them to pay for my education so I can get a leg up. Due to the racism in this world, I can't get a leg up. So you go in the Army, they pay for your college, you do your little duty, and you go about your business.
Right.
Nobody signs up to go to a war, which everybody's lying. There's no weapons of mass destruction. There's nothing there. The troops know this, but they pick out the dumb ones that don't know any better. That's who they pick out, and that's who they talk to, the dumb ones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk to the ones that don't want to be there. They keep the cameras off of them, and they pick out the one dumb, naive one and let him talk, and he speaks for everyone, just like you see here on the street. You know, you pick one dumb hick or one dumb redneck out of all the people that said they hate this war, didn't vote for Bush, didn't vote for any of this mess. But they pick the one dumb redneck and say, aha, this is what America thinks.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with the military community. They hate it. They want their husbands and sons and grandsons home with them.
Yeah.
Not out there.
Yeah.
That's common sense.
Well, Sharon, thanks for checking in. Thanks for your insights.
You're welcome. Mike, am I bureau chief? I remember I used to talk to you when you was on from 3 to 6.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Okay, so am I bureau chief?
Well, don't be a stranger. You call in.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you again.
All right. I love you, Mike. Love you, Kathy.
Take care, Sharon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Bush today, he was answering some questions. He was announcing the appointment of Randall Tobias as U.S. coordinator to handle the AIDS, the dispersal of the so-called $15 billion. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program, because that's a joke, too. But the press was there, and ABC's Terry Moran, I think it's ABC's Terry Moran, asked Bush a question about Saddam's alleged weapons program. Here's what Terry Moran asked. Now, I want you to, when we get to the answer part, Bush admits he's not keeping track of how long the troops he's assigned to die in Iraq have been there. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. But here's what Terry Moran asks. On weapons of mass destruction, is it fair to say now, after 2 months of looking for them, that there's a discrepancy between what the intelligence community and you and your top officials described as the threat from Saddam Hussein and what was actually there on the ground?
Saddam Hussein had a weapons program. Remember, he used them.
Jesus.
He used chemical weapons on his own people.
God.
Saddam Hussein is no longer a threat to the United States because we removed him. But he was a threat. So, no, he was a threat. He's not a threat now. And the world is more peaceful by virtue of the fact that he is not in power. We've been there, what, how many days? Are you counting the days since we've been there? Because I'm not. 80, 90? It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. And we got rid of him. Much faster than a lot of people thought. And so we're bringing some order to the country, and we're beginning to learn the truth.
Isn't that sick? Isn't that sick? See, we've been there, what, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there? Because I'm not. 80, 90, 500? Who cares? Who cares? I'm George Bush. I don't have to answer to anybody about anything. Never have, never will. Just keep the troops going in there. Keep the death happening. Jesus. Bush goes on and continues his half-assed answer of Terry Moran's question about Iraq's supposed weapons of mass destruction.
But he played his hand, Terry. He, Saddam Hussein, when he used chemical weapons. And then he played his hand by not letting people come and inspect for the weapons. He had them.
What?
And it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. The man was a threat to America. He's not a threat today. And so we'll stay the course in Iraq. As I said, there's people there that like to run us out of there, create the conditions where we get nervous and decide to leave. We're not going to get nervous, and we're not leaving until we accomplish the task.
But, George, the banner said mission accomplished. What do you mean we're not leaving until we... But your banner, when you pranced around like a halfwit on the deck of an aircraft carrier with real military on it, you had a banner behind you that said mission accomplished. What do you mean we're not leaving until the mission's accomplished? And his statement here, but he played his hand, Terry, when he used chemical weapons, and then he played his hand by not letting people come in and inspect for the weapons. Bush removed. Bush. Bush said we're bombing. And the weapons inspectors pulled out for their own survival. Now, this guy's crazy, okay? We are being led by a madman. There is no question. None. None. The man's insane. Just listen to his statements, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Ari Fleischer at the press briefing today. Interesting back and forth on these invisible weapons between Ari Fleischer and David Gregory. Who's he with? NBC. Anyway, here's David Gregory and Ari Fleischer. Gregory starts it by saying, Ari, I just want to be clear. The president's belief is that there is no, zero, discrepancy between the threats on the ground in Iraq and what this White House and the intelligence community described being the threat prior to the war. Is that his belief, Ari?
No, I think the president has said it very clearly. Saddam Hussein was a threat for a variety of reasons that he cited, including his possession of weapons of mass destruction, including the fact that he started wars against his neighbors and that he gassed his own people.
I'm asking you to deal with a specific question. So he believes there is no discrepancy between what this administration reported about the threat, what the intelligence community reported about the threat, and what is being borne out after the war.
It's just as I said, that's the reasons the president discussed.
Yes or no? Question. You can
there are always evaluations of the intelligence at all levels, and there's a variety of pieces of information that, as we've discussed many times, form the mosaic. Some of it is clear, some of it is not so clear.
I don't think that's a straight answer. I think
your question doesn't lend itself to a direct answer, which is why it was asked.
But here's the crux of this. Because I don't think the president answered this straight either when Terry asked earlier when he had a chance. The president says that Saddam Hussein was a threat. And what he said on March 17th is that the intelligence leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
Right.
And he went on to talk about the link with al-Qaeda operating within Iraq. So the issue was the imminence of that threat. Has that or has that not been borne out by what we've seen or not discovered?
The president stated directly that the United States has intelligence information saying that Saddam Hussein's regime possesses weapons of mass destruction. The very fact that they were not used against our forces does not in any way indicate that the president's statement was wrong.
It's just it's just unbelievable. The quality or lack of the lies that this illegal criminal regime, the Bush crime family, puts out there for public consumption. It's unbelievable. Some of these reporters are starting to ask questions they should have asked 6 months ago, 3 months ago, a year ago. But their answers are not being... Where are you going to hear these answers? I'll tell you where you're going to hear these answers. Right here. That's it. Are you going to hear David Gregory? Are you going to hear Terry Moran? Are you going to hear Bush making these kinds of statements? Are you going to hear this exchange between David Gregory? Hell no, you're not. You know why? Because it took a minute and 37 seconds to play that. Do you think there's a network out there who's going to play that entire exchange for the American public to hear Ari Fleischer lie through his ass to one of the crack White House press corps? No, you won't hear it. There's one place on earth that you'll hear it being broadcast. Here. That's it. Now, maybe you saw it on C-SPAN, but I'm talking about subsequent to it actually happening. Where are you going to hear this reported? No place. Because this little radio program doesn't count. No place. So here we sit with the most criminal collection of killers running this country that's ever been put together, ever, anywhere. These people make the original Nazi party gang look like babes in the woods. They didn't start their slaughter until they came to power. These punks and thugs and killers have been committing murder for the past 20 years. This is hideous. This is awful. What did Dave say when he called from Silverdale, Washington? First caller tonight. This is not the America I know, Mike. No, it is not. It is not. And he'll be in office tomorrow when we all wake up, won't he? Jared is calling from Carlisle, Ohio. Jared, thanks for holding on. Thanks for calling in. This is your first time calling the program, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah. I had a question. What do you think the odds are of Dennis Kucinich putting in articles of impeachment against Bush? Because it's got to be somebody from Congress, right?
Yeah, it's got to be somebody from the House. They have to introduce a bill of impeachment, and then it goes before the House Judiciary Committee, and yada, yada, yada. But it'll never happen. I don't know that Kucinich would do it. I don't know that anyone in the U.S. House, any Democrat, would do it. But even if they would...
It wouldn't get nowhere.
It will go nowhere.
Yeah, because Republicans have control of...
That's right. They have control of the House Judiciary Committee. They decide what sort of hearings will be held. They decide whether or not to grant subpoena power to force witnesses to come in. And as long as the Republicans are in control of the U.S. House, It will never happen. Never. Bush could put a bullet through Cheney's neck, and it wouldn't happen. Hold on a second. We got a break here. Jared, I'll come back and we'll finish up with you, because I know you've been holding on for a while. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Nothing left for me to hide. I lost my ignorance, security, and pride. I'm all alone, and now you must despise. It's the promises, your promises and lies.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
He's playing hide and seek with inspectors. He wants to play hide and seek. Exactly how I
feel. Five before the hour, we're talking with Jared, who called in from Carlisle, Ohio. Jared, thanks for holding on.
No problem. Yeah, another thing you talked about yesterday was Dennis Miller and how he used to be funny.
Well, he used to be, I don't know, kind of a libertarian, a left libertarian, and now he's become a George Bush ass-kisser.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things about comedians is the great ones. Over time, their act changes. It progresses. Like, I watch a lot of Richard Pryor on TV.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Richard Pryor live in concert, and then 4 years later they recorded Richard Pryor live at Sunset Strip,
right?
The act changes. It improves. It goes something completely different. As for his...
Sure, sure. But we're not talking about an act here. Dennis Miller has been, over the past year or two, after he's been hit with three failures in a row.
Yeah.
He's made a political choice to become an ass kisser for George Bush. That's all.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not
because you get money that way. No real work. Just say what.
Well, it's not a question of his routine changing. I mean, he's still saying the same things. He's just saying them using liberals or Democrats or progressives or Democratic candidates as the object of his scorn and his hatred. But I think you're right. I think he's doing it because he wants to work. There's a lot of people who, in entertainment, whether it's talk radio all the way, you know, from the basement of talk radio all the way up to the attic of, Broadway. A lot of people are willing to make the change to become ass kissers for Bush or the Republican Party in order to keep working.
Or just stay completely quiet.
Or that too.
Like Sarandon sort of has, you know, at the Oscars.
You think,
she wore a little peace symbol and everything else, but she didn't make a scene like Michael Moore did, which was cool. I love that.
Right. Well, so did I. Hey, Jared, I hope you call again, pal. I'm glad you found the program, all right?
Oh, no problem.
All right, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All
bye.
Right. You bet. Take care. Oh, God. All right, coming back, we'll go back to your phone calls. We have a break coming here. A new poll shows most Americans doubt Bush's honesty. And what is interesting about the poll shows that most Americans, that's more than 50%, feel Bush was, quote, stretching the truth in claiming the U.S. had proof about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Stretching the truth? No, stretching the truth is when you tell your mama you had one cookie when you really had two. That's stretching the truth. What Bush did is lie. He is a liar, and his lies are getting people killed.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas is vowing to put militants in prison if they violate a three-month truce with Israel. He made the tough pledge one day after a summit with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Abbas promised to crack down on any person or party who tries to spark new violence. He admits his decision is risky, but believes most Palestinians will support him because they want peace. This is Abbas' first open commitment to taking action on militant organizations like Hamas and Islamic Jihad since the approval of the roadmap to peace. Israel has said the only way the peace effort can succeed is if Abbas reins in groups behind suicide bombings and other attacks. Chesapeake, Virginia Mayor William Ward says he's disappointed that a Fairfax County, Virginia judge has decided to move the trial of suspected sniper Leboyd Malvo to his city. Ward says he has several reasons to be concerned about the change of venue.
This will disrupt to a degree the normal flow of activities here at City Hall as relates to parking. Potential safety issues, certainly the cost, certainly the disruption as our citizens go about the normal business of their daily activities.
Ward hinted to reporters that he may bill Fairfax County for any costs Chesapeake accrues due to the trial. He also said that it's his understanding that the trial, which is scheduled to start in November, will last through the first of next year. The trial is being moved from Northern Virginia due to concerns that Malvo will not get a fair trial there due to pretrial publicity.
Still using Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra? Then be aware, because this year many prescription plans are raising the copayment cost of your allergy medicine. So why pay more when those medicines are approved to treat fewer triggers? Ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. 99% of prescription plans cover Flonase, and Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. Allergy medicines costing you more? Simply ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
President Bush isn't ready to weigh in on a proposed constitutional amendment on gay marriage. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist recently said he supports the idea of a constitutional amendment that would define marriage as being between a man and a woman. He made that comment after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a Texas state law banning gay sex. During an impromptu news conference at the White House, Bush said he firmly supports the notion that marriage is between a man and a woman. As for an amendment to the Constitution, he said, "Let's let the lawyers look at the full ramifications of the recent Supreme Court ruling." Tens of thousands of homosexuals killed or persecuted by Nazis may be commemorated with a memorial in Berlin. A coalition of political parties in Germany launched a motion in the country's parliament to create the landmark. If it's approved, it would be the latest in a series of German monuments to victims of Hitler's war machine. Nazis persecuted homosexuals relentlessly, sending thousands of them to concentration camps where they were forced to wear pink triangles. An unknown number of them were killed.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
The only victim of the Station nightclub fire in Rhode Island who remains hospitalized is making a plea to people getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July. In a message relayed by one of his doctors, Joseph Canan says people should not play with pyrotechnics. Canan says he hopes his plea will keep the users and any potential innocent bystanders from suffering the serious injuries that can occur. The fire at the Station nightclub in West Warwick February 20th killed 100 people and injured nearly 200 others. It was sparked by a band's pyrotechnics display. Kinnan was burned over 35% of his body and lost his ears and fingers. Doctors say he faces at least another month at Massachusetts General Hospital. Stocks soared today as an early rally gained momentum throughout the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 101 points and finished at 91.42. The Nasdaq added 38 points to 1678. The S&P 500 was up 11 to 993. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish. Not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
7 past the hour. Okay, before we go back to your phone calls, a lot of those quotes of Bush, the bring him on, psychosis, ugliness out of this twerp's mouth, these comments came at a press conference where Bush announced that Randall Tobias will be Bush's choice to run a $15 billion program to fight AIDS worldwide, which is a lie in itself. But that's how it's being presented to the American public. Now, what about Randall Tobias? You got to wonder, were there no doctors available for this position? No public health professionals available? No epidemiologists available? Apparently not. So, too stupid to be president, gets a phone call, I'm assuming, from his father, because his father, I think, still sits on the board of directors of the Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company. And if such a phone call occurred, Pappy Bush said to too stupid to find his ass with both hands, I want you to put Randall Tobias in charge of your so-called AIDS program, sonny. Now, this guy, Randall Tobias, is a former CEO for Eli Lilly and Company. And if he gets confirmed by the Senate, he will coordinate all the Bush crime family's international AIDS HIV activities for all government departments and all agencies, as well as all faith-based community groups. Everything. Tobias has no experience in public health, no experience with AIDS. He is a major contributor to the Republican Party. He also was a vice chairman of AT&T and chairman of AT&T International. He retired from Eli Lilly in 1998. Now, we're not surprised. Of course we're not surprised. This is what happens when you raise a lot of money for George Bush. You get appointments. You get job security. You get to have head an AIDS program. When you have no idea, first of all, I would defy Mr. Randall Tobias to find, oh, I don't know, pick a country, Chad, on the map. Could he find Zimbabwe? Could he find Uganda? Could he find both Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo? You think he could? Why, hell no. But he's a major money whore for the Republican Party. So he gets the job. He gets the appointment. Now, if the Senate confirms him, he'll have the rank of ambassador and will report directly to Colin Powell. So let's see. What did Bush have to say about the appointment of Randall Tobias today? He makes the announcement. So here's another corporate CEO who gets a nice payoff from W.
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Randall Tobias to serve as the Global AIDS Coordinator. Randy is one of America's most talented and respected executives.
Oh, well, good then.
He was vice chairman of AT&T and chairman of AT&T International, guiding the firm through immense organizational challenges.
Okay.
He went to head Eli Lilly and Company, one of our nation's largest and most innovative pharmaceutical companies.
Now, isn't Eli Lilly the one that was a bill was sneaked into the Homeland Defense nonsense that shields Eli Lilly from any lawsuits that might result from taking the smallpox vaccine, or have I got my pharmaceutical companies mixed up? Now, Ari Fleischer had something to say about Tobias's selection to be Bush's AIDS czar. Reporter asked this question. Ari, AIDS advocates had a couple of reactions to the Tobias appointment and administration AIDS policy in general. First of all, they're saying that Tobias's history as a drug company executive shows that that's where the Bush administration's real allegiance lies, in the policies that foster the profits of the drug companies rather than AIDS victims in Africa who would in fact benefit from low-cost generic drugs, that sort of thing, Ari. And these critics are also criticizing the Bush administration for not seeking full funding in the first year of the AIDS initiative, saying that the $2 billion figure rather than $3 billion, which was authorized by Congress. Can you address these two questions, Ari?
What's important now, particularly when you start to work on something that has international dimensions with the United States tax dollars, is that the person in charge of it be a very effective, good manager so that help gets to the people who suffer from AIDS and it doesn't get lost in bureaucracies. Mr. Tobias is a known and innovative leader. He's a successful businessman. He has worked with billion-dollar organizations before to make certain that they were run effectively.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, then that explains it. Yeah, it makes perfect sense in the twisted, perverted, sick world of George Bush and his gang that you put a pharmaceutical company executive in charge of administering hundreds of millions of dollars in a public health crisis. Why, of course. Absolutely. Don't use an epidemiologist. Don't go to CDC. Don't get anyone who's had experience with AIDS. How stupid would that be? Get this thug. Incredible. Now, this new poll that I mentioned right before the break shows that Americans are starting to question the honesty of George W. Bush. The new poll shows that Americans feel Bush was, quote, stretching the truth, close quote, in claiming the U.S. had proof about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, stretching the truth. Is that how we adult Americans respond? Well, I think he was stretching the truth. Eh? Only 32% of those polled. Who did the poll? Oh, somebody important. I don't know who did the poll. This is reported by Capitol Hill Blue. Only 32%. Oh, the poll was by the University of Maryland. Only 32% of those polled thought Bush was fully truthful, while 10% felt the administration lied outright. The poll by the University of Michigan found that 52% of respondents said they believe Bush and his aides were stretching the truth, but not making false statements about Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's chemical, biological, and nuclear programs. Stretching the truth, but not making false statements. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for the American public to realize that these people are pathological liars and killers and have no respect for anything other than their power, their control, and their empire? Another 10% said U.S. officials were presenting Congress, the American public, and the international community evidence they knew was false. Only 10% of us polled said, well, yeah, they were presenting evidence they knew was false. Only 32% said they thought the government was being fully truthful about the Iraqi arsenal, which means 68% believe that George Bush is a liar. You know, maybe some of you folks have been calling in and saying, look, this little rat bastard is not going to get reelected. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're absolutely right. Similarly, 56% of those polled believe the Bush crime family stretched the truth or made outright false statements about Saddam Hussein's ties to al-Qaeda. Well, I guess that's good news, huh? When Americans will actually say to a polling company, yeah, Bush is a liar. Of course, not quite that. It was, they stretched the truth. Now, like I said before the break, stretching the truth is when your mama catches you with cookie crumbs on your chin and you say, I only had one, when you really had two. That's stretching the truth. What Bush is doing, what Cheney's doing, what Colin Powell, Wolfowitz, Pearl, the rest of these monsters, is lying to the extent that Americans and Iraqis and Kurds and God knows who else are dying. But the Bush crime family could not care less about people dying. They thrive on people dying. They are happy to see people die. They set up situations that cause death. And I just wonder, again, like I wonder all the time, how much longer we, the American public, are going to tolerate this. Clint's been holding on forever. He's calling from Dearborn. Clint, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing besides everything else going on tonight?
Doing fine.
What that guy said today, just, I don't know, it just drove me crazy. It drove everybody else crazy that heard it with me. And when you think you're not going to hear this guy say anything, you know, more stupid, he keeps going on, and he is, you know, insane. I really agree with you. He is insane.
I don't see how we can consider that he's not at this point. I mean that. I don't see how we can consider George Bush is not, to some degree, mentally unbalanced when he can make these kinds of statements and continue to make these kinds of statements. I'm not saying at this point that he needs to be institutionalized. I think he could be maintained chemically, but to a greater degree than he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's astonishing that the man is making the kinds of statements that he's making. And the press lets him, just lets it go by. Let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you, Clint.
Okay, sure.
We got to take another break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I've been in the cold, getting lonely, getting old. Can you feel me?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name, Metabolife Ultra.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired,
pathetic.
Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You what? Hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
You've been the same old man.
24 past the hour. We are talking with Clint from Dearborn. Thanks for holding on, Clint.
Oh, no, thank you for your show again tonight. Yeah, thanks for that airy spot, by the way. That helped break up all the tension of, you know, talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, okay.
We need that little bit of humor now and then.
Yeah, too bad it has to come that way.
Yeah, it's so sad. But, you know, this guy, I just, you know, I... like, I know you've talked about it many times, just like me. It just seems like it just keeps going on and on and on. And the biggest thing that I have fault with is the media, you know, because they're not saying this, you know, anything about any of this craziness, you know.
Right.
And, you know, like I've told you before, I can turn on Canadian television being right here on the border. And those people over there are, you know, saying how nuts our, you know, our fearless leader is. And it's just, I just wish more Americans could see, you know, what we see from Canada or some of these other places.
Yeah. I hear you. Who knows what it's going to take for Americans to understand what has happened here. You know, I was talking to somebody today about this situation, and there is this reality, and this is what spooks me a bit. You know, people can live under fascism and do just fine. As long as they don't challenge the authority of the corporate masters who run the government. It's almost impossible to live under communism because it is, you know, there's no wiggle room. There is some wiggle room under fascism. As long as everybody goes along with the program under fascism, you know, you can be a small business owner, you can be a farmer, you can be a factory owner, you can sit on a corporate board in a fascist state. As long as you understand that the rules are being made by the rule makers, not by you. You will have nothing to say, but you can still kind of live without a whole lot of agony. Whereas in a communist state, as so far they have been constituted, and they've all been corrupt. I'm not saying that a pure communist state might not work. Maybe it would, but the way they've all been constituted at this point, they have been abysmal failures. And the people who have lived under communism, they wind up becoming truly soul dead and brain dead. Look at the Russian people. Look at the poor Russian people after 80 years of communism. There's not a creative bone in any of them. I'm sorry, I don't like to make those kinds of blanket statements, but generally speaking, look at the Germans under fascism. Look at the Italians under fascism. Look at the Spanish under fascism. That type of soul death, brain death, spirit death did not occur. Now, I'm not justifying either ism. For God's sake, I hope nobody... Oh, Malloy's saying fascism is good. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that people can live under fascism. Now, the reason it's scary is because since we can live under fascism, I'm afraid that the American public may say, look, it's not all that bad, and let it go at that. You see, this discussion came up today between a friend of mine and me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I agree. You know, people can just sit back and roll their eyes and say, well, I'll just go along.
It doesn't affect me. I'm not, you know, it's not like fascism is more authoritarian, whereas communism is more totalitarian. And there is a profound difference in application of those two isms, I think. Mm. Hey, listen, Clint, good to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, you take care. You and Kathy have a nice fourth.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Bye-bye.
Quick break here. We'll be right back.
You know, a dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier. There's no question about it.
Into the shadow, into the shadow.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
A victory for free speech and workers' rights online from the California Supreme Court. The case involved Ken Hamidi, a former engineer for the Intel Corporation. After being fired in 1995 over a workers' compensation dispute, Hamidi began emailing all Intel employees with exposés on the company's unfair labor practices. Intel went to court and got an injunction barring Hamidi from sending emails to Intel, claiming that by doing so he was trespassing on private property. But a 4-3 majority of California's highest court has ruled Hamidi was engaging in nothing more than free speech, much like a protester would standing on the sidewalk in front of Intel's headquarters holding a sign. And because of his status as a former Intel employee, the court believed Hamidi's emails didn't fit the definition of spam either, as he was actually passing along information of interest to other Intel workers.
The U.S. Customs Service is under fire for allowing cocoa harvested by slaves into the country. U.S. law prohibits the importation of goods manufactured by prison or slave labor, and labor advocates say that should include cocoa from the Ivory Coast, much of which is produced by indentured children for major chocolate processors like Nestle, Cargill, and Archer Daniels Midland. Terry Collinsworth is with the International Labor Rights Fund. His group recently filed suit against the Customs Service after petitioning the agency for a year to prevent the importation of slave-harvested cocoa into the U.S.
Our initial effort here will be to ask a court to order an administrative agency to implement a law as required by Congress.
The Ivory Coast produces nearly half of the world's cocoa supply, and the International Labor Rights Fund estimates that nearly all chocolate sold in the U.S. contains some cocoa that was picked by indentured children.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Kind of caught me off guard there for a minute. No. I'll pass, thanks. Just wanted to toss something out there. Probably be more appropriate tomorrow than tonight, but shucks, I was working on it tonight. On Christmas, I read from the book of Luke to my children. And on the 4th of July, I read the Declaration of Independence. I consider they're both Holy Scripture. And, you know, most of us know the when in the course of human events part, or a lot of us do, and then most of us know the we hold these truths part. Very few of us ever get to the actual Martin Luther-style petition of grievances. But I took a look at it, and I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you, if I might. Sort of, you know, the old college compare and contrast thing. There's a list of things that start with he or for in the body of the Declaration. The first one is, he has refused his assent to laws, and this is talking about another King George, of course, but funny, we've got one now. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. You know, what do you call it when you lose an election and you won't stand down? He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance.
Right.
Anyone for Homeland Security? He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. How about that military tribunal, Abdullah?
Yeah, really.
For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit for the inhabitants of these states, or somewhere else for that matter. Didn't we abrogate that whole international criminal court thing? That thingy?
Yes, we did.
For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. See military tribunals above. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses.
Huh.
Gitmo come to mind?
Yeah, really.
For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. We don't have time to count the treaties, do we?
No. You obviously are describing George W. Bush.
He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. Well, you can replace towns with towers.
Yeah, that's...
Destroyed lives, well, what are we at, 260 so far?
I think so.
He is at this time transporting large armies to complete the works of death. God, this is a beautiful phrase. You and I on our best poetic nights could not do this. To complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation.
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
I guess so, Robin.
And just one last more, Mike.
All right.
He has excited insurrections amongst us. And has endeavored, we got to do a little blue line penciling here,
okay.
Has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless, and this is where you blue pencil Indian and replace Arab, savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Time for a new one, ain't it?
Man, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't think very many of us read into... the body of the Declaration, where the reasons are so explicitly laid out. I may have done that once with my high school civics teacher, and beyond that, probably never again.
I do it all the time because I'm a geek.
Yeah. Well, Robin, thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir.
Hey, have a happy 4th.
Hey, same to you.
Peace.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, how long has it been since any of us have read into the body that talks about what the bastard King George has done? That's frightening, truly frightening language. Frightening in the sense, you know, here 230, 40 years later, well, 220 years later, 25, oh, damn, who cares? Over two centuries later, when you read those words and understand that when those words were put to paper, what the colonists were saying, what the revolutionaries were saying, was that they literally pledged their lives to what they had done. I mean, it was all-out war. The language, while the language used in the Declaration of Independence was certainly poetic, if you understand what I mean, it was also frighteningly powerful. And the people who put their names to those words, there was no way to go back. I mean, that was it. That was it. We pledge our lives in sacred honor, or however it was worded. But it incredible stuff. And Robin, thank you very much for bringing that back, because we just don't talk about that, do we? We truly don't. Mac is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Mac.
Hi there. I caught a few words from Jim Hightower on your program today, and I heard is Mr. Bird's comments yesterday, briefly.
Right.
And I just heard Robin. And I think we're reaching a flashpoint, and I do believe that to coin a phrase, when the going gets tough, why the tough get going.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the feeling we're at that point. If only there were some way to get folks to focus on the target, and that's Mr. Bush. That's the target.
Now, by that you mean, of course, to get him out of office.
That's right.
Right.
And can we rally the Jim Hightowers and the folks from the unions and many other folks, you and Pete and other folks who have connections and contact, and rally them to focus on the target, and even Republicans who are dissatisfied with Mr. Bush and his shenanigans. And we've got time, not much, but we've got time to plan and think and work out strategies. Miss Robin's comments really got me waving the flag.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, right.
That's tremendous.
I hear that, Mac. I hear that.
And, you know, there's another couple of words, few words, that in George Washington's farewell address that caught my eye several days ago, in which he talks about the misuse of political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I'd like to suggest that if you can get a hold of his farewell address back in 1787, or I think it was, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go. I think it's bare-knuckle time has arrived, or to be pretty coarse, nut-cutting time. let's go after the SOBs.
I hear you. I hear you, Mac.
And please don't quit.
Oh, no.
Keep doing it. It ain't easy. And for those of us who aren't able to get really into the thick of it, I've had some experience in my work in which we've done strategy sessions.
Uh-huh.
To work out plans to undercut the, I won't be profane or coarse anymore, but we're at the point where we have to do some planning.
I hear you. I hear you.
And thanks so much for what you're doing.
Thank you, Mac. Thanks for checking in.
You betcha.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Anna sent me a quick email here, and she's got a few sentences that I saw in Time magazine. I think the current issue of Time, I believe it's the current issue of Time that came out a couple of days ago. Or maybe it was last week's. Let me just quote, excuse me. Let me just quote a couple lines here. Meeting last month at a sweltering U.S. base outside Doha, Qatar, with its top Iraq commanders, President Bush skipped quickly past the niceties and went straight to his chief political obsession. Where are the weapons of mass destruction? Turning to his Baghdad pro-counsel, Paul Bremer, Bush asked, Are you in charge of finding weapons of mass destruction? Bremer said, no, he was not. Bush then put the same question to his military commander, General Tommy Franks. Are you in charge? But Franks said it wasn't his job either. A little exasperated, Bush then asked, so who's in charge of finding the weapons of mass destruction? After aides conferred for a moment, someone volunteered the name of Stephen Cambone, a little-known deputy to Donald Rumsfeld back in Washington. There was a pause, and then Bush asked, who? Now that's where we are. Do you understand? Thanks, Anna. Yeah, I saw that in Time, and I just, it's, you know, like I've said before, sometimes just overwhelming. Well, let's post this link so you can check it out yourself. It's just overwhelming with this stuff. Now, talking about Paul Bremer, no, his job is not to find the weapons of mass destruction, the destruction. Andrew Murray, writing in The Guardian of London yesterday, quotes Paul Bremer. That's Bush's overlord in Iraq. Here's what Bremer said about Iraq. Quote, we are going to fight them and impose our will on them, and we will capture or kill them until we have imposed law and order on this country. We dominate the scene, and we will continue to impose our will on this country. End quote. Now, the murderous William Westmoreland could not have put that better 35 years ago. And as Andrew Murray writes, welcome to the new colonialism. And Bremer's words, by the way, are not just bluster. We are now engaged in a massive search and destroy sweep in central and northern Iraq against forces that oppose our rule. Period. And as Murray writes, civilian deaths, particularly of demonstrators, are mounting. Basic services and basic rights are in scant supply, with neither democracy nor a reliable water supply on offer to Iraqis. The only advanced program is for the privatization of various state industries. This occupation, which has no modern precedent, should be at the center of political attention. Ending it needs to be at the heart of public activity. Now, somebody brought up earlier tonight about exit strategy. Remember that? Ari Fleischer at the press briefing today. Reporter says, Ari, during the 2000 campaign, the president said that he would be judicious in deploying troops around the world, and he laid out these criteria. He said it needs to be in our vital interest, the mission needs to be clear, and the exit strategy obvious. Ari, what's the exit strategy in Iraq?
Well, in Iraq, does not fit the same category as what the president was talking about there. The president, when he began this, said to the American people that this will be a war in which we cannot predict its outcome. We can predict with certainty what the outcome will be, but not the duration of the outcome. And so the president has never put a specific timetable on it. He was very direct with the American people about that, and he said it will be as long as is necessary, but not a day longer.
Really? I guess I must have been in the bathroom when that was explained. Huh? Iraq does not fit the same category as what the Bush bastard was talking about during the campaign, about vital interest. The mission is clear and the exit strategy obvious. No, of course not. He wasn't talking about Iraq. He was talking about, Colombia. Maybe that's who he was talking about, Colombia. We're just in a world of we are just in a big mess, aren't we, Truth Seekers? Huh? Bremer is asking for more troops. The 160,000 we have there is not enough. Does this sound familiar? The least bit familiar? Well, you have to be over a certain age to catch the familiarity. Quick break. We'll be right back.
It must be the savings and loan that he put up his nose. Everybody says he's ready to lead us. Had much more than 10 cents a dance. Who's really paying the tune while we watch Georgie France? Thomas Jefferson, it makes me want to cry. To think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Tom instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, I just have a couple more Bush quotes here that I want to share with you. Now, this is at the same little press conference when he made the announcement that Randall Tobias, former CEO of Eli Lilly, would now head Bush's so-called AIDS initiative. Send all that money to Africa, to various countries in Africa. Another just massive joke and slap in the face of people who are suffering with AIDS, a slap in the face of the American taxpayer. And just once again, Bush unzipping his fly and pissing all over the truth, decency, justice, honor. But he stood there and took some questions. Reporter said, Mr. President, a posse of small nations like the Ukraine and Poland are materializing to help keep the peace in Iraq. But with the attacks on U.S. forces and the casualty rates rising, what is the administration doing to get larger powers like, France or Germany or Russia to join the American occupation there?
Of course we want other countries to help us. Great Britain is there, Poland is there, Ukraine is there, you mentioned. Anybody who wants to help, we're welcome to help. But we got plenty of tough force there right now to make sure the situation is secure. We always welcome help. We're always glad to include others in, but make no mistake about it, and the enemy shouldn't make any mistake about it. We will deal with them harshly if they continue to try to bring harm to the Iraqi people.
You moron, it is the Iraqi people who are killing the American soldiers. What the hell is, what is in this man's skull? Sawdust? Who does he think the American soldiers were fighting? Those were Iraqi people, you moron. What did you think they were, George? Russians? Chinese? Peruvians? They are Iraqis. Oh, my God. What's the point? What's the point? When I didn't get to the quote about Senator Frist's idea of a constitutional amendment to stop queers from getting married. We'll get to that tomorrow night. He had something to say about that, too. This is one of those nights I feel like I've got to go home and take a shower. I swear to God. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones. Thanks to Mark Marshall, Maximum Interactive, our webmaster. Thanks as well to Kimsley for some of our new music. And in closing, please stop encouraging the killing of our troops, George. If you have any humanity, don't bring them on. Bring them home. Did I say programs produced by Catherine Bay? Okay. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike